William lay on the floor of the woodshed, engrossed in a book. His bottle of lemonade lay untouched by his side, and he even forgot the half-eaten apple which reposed in his hand. His jaws were arrested midway in the act of munching. "Our hero," he read, "was awakened about midnight by the sound of the rattling of chains. Raising himself on his arm, he gazed into the darkness. About a foot from his bed, he could discern a tall, white, faintly gleaming figure and a ghostly arm which beckoned him." William's hair stood on end. Crumbs! He continued to read. "Nothing perturbed, our hero rose and followed the spectre through the long, winding passages of the old castle. Whenever he hesitated, a white, luminous arm, hung around with ghostly chains, beckoned him on."
"Golly!" gasped William. "William!" The cry came from somewhere in the sunny garden outside. William frowned sternly, took another bite of apple, and continued to read.
"Our hero gave a cry of astonishment."
"Yes, I'd have done that all right," agreed William. "William!" His grown-up sister, Ethel, appeared in the doorway. "Mother wants you." "Well, I'm busy," said William coldly, taking a draught of lemonade and returning to his book. "Cousin Mildred's come," continued his sister. "Well, I can't help that, can I?" he said, with the air of one arguing patiently with a lunatic. Ethel shrugged and departed. "He's reading some old book in the shed," he heard her announce. "And he says..." Here he foresaw complications and hastily followed her. Cousin Mildred was sitting on the lawn. She was elderly and very thin and very tall, and she wore a curious long shapeless garment of green silk with a golden girdle. "Dear child," she murmured, taking the grimy hand that William held out to her in dignified silence. He was cheered by the sight of tea and cakes. Cousin Mildred ate little, but talked much. "I'm living in hopes of a psychic revelation, dear," she said to William's mother. "In hopes. I've heard of wonderful experiences, but so far none, alas, have befallen me. Automatic writing I have tried, but any communication the spirits may have sent me that way remained illegible. Quite illegible." William eyed her with scorn while he consumed reckless quantities of cakes. "I would love to have a psychic revelation." "Yes, dear," murmured Mrs. Brown, mystified. "William, you've had enough."
Enough? Why, I've only had..."
He decided hastily against exact statistics.
"I've only had hardly any," he said.
"You've had enough anyway," said Mrs. Brown firmly.
"Well, can I go then, if I can't have any more tea?"
"Well, there's plenty of bread and butter."
"I don't want bread and butter."
"Dear child,"
murmured Cousin Mildred vaguely as he departed. He returned to the story and lemonade and apple and stretched himself happily at full length in the shady woodshed.
With a thrill of cold fear, he retreated up the steps before the hollow and, as it seemed, vindictive stare of the grinning skeleton.
"I wonder what he was grinning at," said William.
Then suddenly Cousin Mildred's voice greeted him.
"Ah, so you're here, dear. I was just exploring your garden. I like to be alone. I see that you are the same, dear child."
"I'm reading," said William with icy dignity.
"Dear boy, won't you come and show me your favourite nooks and corners?"
William shut his book with a resigned sigh.
"All right," he said, laconically.
He conducted her in patient silence round the kitchen garden and the shrubbery. She looked sadly at the house, with its red brick, uncompromisingly modern appearance.
"Oh, William, I wish your house was old."
"Old," he said. "I guess it's old enough."
"Oh, is it? Restored recently, I suppose?"
"Uh-huh,"
agreed William, nodding.
"Oh, I'm so glad. I may have some psychic revelation here, then.
Oh, yes, I shouldn't wonder.
William, have you ever had one?
I don't know.
His mysterious manner threw her into a transport.
Oh, William, to me, you may speak freely. Of course, not to anyone, but to me, I'm one of the sympathetic, William. I will tell no one, not even your parents. I believe that children see clouds of glory and all that. With your unstained childish vision...
I'm 11.
You see things that to the wise are sealed. Some manifestation, some spirit, some ghostly visitant.
Said William, suddenly enlightened.
Are you talking about ghosts?
Yes, ghosts, William.
Her air of deference flattered him. She evidently expected great things of him. Well, great things she should have.
Oh, ghosts, oh yes. Yes, I've seen some of them, all right.
Her face lit up.
Will you tell me some of your experiences, William?
She said, humbly.
Well, I've seen them. Trains and all. And skeletons. And ghostly arms beckoning and all that.
Oh, go on. Tell me all.
He went on. He soared aloft on the wings of imagination.
Oh, if only some of it could happen to me,
breathed his confidant.
Does it come to you at nights, William?
Yes, nights mostly.
I shall watch tonight. And you say the house is old?
Awful old, said William reassuringly.
Cousin Mildred's attitude to William was a relief to the rest of the family. Visitors sometimes objected to William. She seems to have almost taken to William, said his mother.
William was pleased yet embarrassed by Cousin Mildred's attentions. It was a strange experience to him to be accepted by a grown-up as a fellow being.
She talked to him with interest. She bought him sweets. She went for walks with him, and evidently took his constrained silence for the silence of depth and wisdom.
Eventually, William felt that something was expected from him in return.
He decided to supply it. He took another book of ghost stories from the library at school and read them in the privacy of his room at night. Many were the thrilling adventures which he had to tell Cousin Mildred in the morning. Cousin Mildred's bump of credulity was a large one. She listened to him with awe and wonder.
William, you are one of the elect, one of the chosen, one of those whose spirits can break down the barrier between the unseen world and ours with ease.
She sighed and stroked back her thin locks sadly.
Oh, how I wish that some experience would happen to me.
Cousin Mildred slept in the bedroom below William's. Descent from one window to the other was easy. That night, Cousin Mildred awoke suddenly as the clock struck 12. There was no moon, and only dimly did she discern the white figure that stood in the light of the window. She sat up, quivering with eagerness.
Oh!
She gasped. The white figure moved a step forward and coughed nervously. Cousin Mildred clasped her hands.
Speak!
She said in a tense whisper.
Oh, speak! Some message? Some revelation?
William was nonplussed. None of the ghosts he had read of had spoken. They had rattled and groaned and beckoned, but they had not spoken. He tried groaning and emitted a sound faintly reminiscent of a seasick voyager.
Oh, speak! Speak!
Evidently, speech was a necessary part of this performance. William wondered whether ghosts spoke English or a language of their own. He inclined to the latter view and nobly took the plunge.
Honk! Yonk! Honk!
he said, firmly. Cousin Mildred gasped in wonder.
Oh, explain, explain in our poor human speech some message.
William took fright. It was all turning out to be much more complicated than he'd expected. He hastily passed through the room and out of the door, closing it noisily behind him. There came a sound like a crash of thunder. Outside on the landing were Cousin Mildred's shoes, William's father's boots, and William's brother's boots, and into these charged William in his headlong retreat. They slid noisily along the polished wooden surface of the floor, ricocheting into each other as they went. Doors opened suddenly, and William's father collided with William's grown-up brother Robert in the dark passage, where they wrestled fiercely before they discovered each other's identity.
"I heard that confounded noise, and I came out."
"So did I."
"Well, then, who made it?"
"I don't know, father."
"If it's that wretched boy up to any tricks again."
William's father went upstairs with determined tread to his younger son's room. William was discovered carefully spreading a sheet over his bed and smoothing it down. He turned a glance upon his father that was guileless and sweet.
"Did you make that confounded row, kicking boots about the passage?"
spluttered the man of wrath. "No, father," said William, gently. "I've not been kicking boots about."
"Were you on the landing just now?"
William considered this question for a few seconds, then spoke up brightly and innocently.
"I don't know, father. You see, some folks walk in their sleep, and when they wake up, they dunno where they've been. Why, I've heard of a man walking down a fire escape in his sleep, and then he woke up..."
"And be quiet! What in the name of the... What on earth are you doing making your bed in the middle of the night? Are you insane?"
William tucked in one end of his sheet.
"No, father, I'm not insane. My sheet just fell off me in the night, and I got out to pick it up. I must have been a bit restless, I suppose. Sheets come off easy when folks is restless in bed, and they don't know anything about it till they wake up just the same as sleepwalking. Why, I've heard of folks..."
"Be quiet!"
At that moment, William's mother arrived in her dressing gown, carrying a candle.
"Look at him," said Mr. Brown. "He plays rugger up and down the passage all night, then he begins to make his bed. He's mad.
He's..." Mrs. Brown laid her hand upon her husband's arm.
"You know, dear, a house is always full of noises at night. Basket chairs creaking..."
Mr. Brown's face grew purple.
"Basket chairs!"
But he allowed himself to be led, unresisting, from the room. William finished his bed-making, then, lying down, fell at once into the deep sleep of childish innocence. But Cousin Mildred was lying awake, a blissful smile upon her lips. She, too, was now one of the elect, the chosen. Her rather deaf ears had caught the sound of supernatural thunder as her ghostly visitant departed, and she had beamed with ecstatic joy.
"Honk,"
she murmured dreamily.
"Honk, yonk, ponk."